Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mommy Chronicles with Denise Davis May and Tanya Scott Williams, your parenting partners in raising phenomenal children.
Good morning, and thank you so much for tuning in to our show today. I think it's going to be packed full of powerful points today. We're talking about the Confederate history. We're on the campus live at Alabama State University, where the Department of History and Political Science is hosting a flash Confederate Memorial Day conference. And the public is welcome to come out and listen in on the session. It's going to be filled with speakers and presentations dealing with the Confederacy and talking about issues that don't often have a chance to really touch on points that are really important. And so we are here today with a number of scholars and experts in the area of American history, African-American history, Civil War history specifically, to kind of introduce discussions around the Civil War, little-known history moments, individuals who aren't spoken about frequently, and the contributions that the people who were often identified as only the subjects of this war, as being contributors to this event, and really having significant or playing significant roles in the process of emancipating a whole people.
Mm-hmm. I'm just really excited that Alabama State University and its faculty have decided to tackle this issue, it really allowing for an examination of aspects of this fight among America's citizens over issues that aren't always very clear, especially if you rely solely on the education that many of us get from grade school on up. Mm-hmm. And so for them to do that, I think, is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And we would like to bring out some of the conversations that we will get from sound bites from folks, and then at some point perhaps maybe we'll add later some of the interviews that we're able to do. But let's go now to a conversation that I had with Dr. Moten early on as to why the university is hosting this conference.
Different southern states recognize Confederate Memorial Day on different dates. This year in Alabama, it's recognized on April the 27th. We thought of this conference because here at the university, we often talk about Montgomery as the birthplace of the Civil Rights Movement, and we talk a lot about the Civil Rights Movement, but Montgomery is also known as the birthplace of the Confederacy, and we spend very little time talking about the former.
And that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to talk about the Confederacy and its impact on families, not only the battle itself, but perhaps maybe talking about the lives of people who lived through the war, its impact on not only the South, but the country, and maybe even touching on why we don't often factor into our conversations the part that enslaved people played in the fighting of this war. I had an opportunity to speak with one of the presenters earlier, and she introduced the topic of the involvement of Africans fighting the war as a revolution, that their leaving the plantations and going into battle was a revolt, pushing back against the system that had so long enslaved them. So we'll have a chance to look at all of those aspects and then maybe touch on some of the emotional parts of it as well.
And talking about, again, how parents can support the education of their children, a lot of this information is little known to those of us, as Tanya suggested, who have gone through the traditional educational system in the United States, where there is a particular narrative that is presented as truth. And as we have talked about repetitively, every historical event has multi-perspectived representations of the issue. And so if you're hearing one narrative, it's likely that you're missing seven or eight others of that exact same event. So being here today and being exposed to some of these scholars and some of the information that they're having to share with several of the students who are coming in and out, who are participating in the presentations, and some of the visual performances that we're excited about seeing, this just is an opportunity to expose the students and some of the parents who are here, and eventually will trickle down, we're hoping, to the experiences of children in the K through 12 grades of education.
Now, I will admit, when we were invited to come to participate in this event, I had an immediate visceral response. It is hard to push past that sometimes, to allow for the other conversations, that dialogue that the university is offering today. And then I started to ask myself the question that I always ask, why is that? Yeah, I know the answer, because it's complicated, it's messy, it's painful, it represents our ancestors in a light that by in a narrative that doesn't fully represent us, but I don't know how to give voice to that. So all I do is feel. Now, I have to push past those feelings and then deal with some of the very real issues. For instance, I think I may have mentioned to you once before, I went to a diverse church at one point, and at this time of year, there were several members who participated in Civil War reenactments. They went to Confederate Memorial celebrations, and although we were a part of the beloved community of faith, those particular conversations immediately separated me from others. And I wasn't necessarily invited to participate in those conversations. But you know what? I don't even know if I would have been capable of having those conversations without allowing a lot of emotion to come to the forefront. And some of the history that I'm aware of, or had been at those times, didn't fully represent important aspects of the war. I was relying on the history that I've been given, not the things that I've learned since then. You see what I'm saying? And it makes you feel handicapped, you know, but it doesn't have to be that way.
And I recall several years ago I worked in Selma, Alabama for about 4 or 5 years, and every year around this time of year there is a huge Civil War reenactment, and I mean it involves women in antebellum gowns sashaying through downtown Selma, some of the historical homes, and there are even people of African ancestry who are represented what I presumed at the time was enslaved people, and I would have a visceral reaction to the extent that I would just take off for half the day. You know, I would come down, I would see it, I would get nauseated and decide, no, I'm not going to stay. Because much of my knowledge at the time was certainly about this victimized people who had no involvement at all in the emancipation. I was aware of course, several of the uprisings that occurred in response to marginalization and enslavement during the periods from 1600s, 1600s on through the late 1800s post emancipation, but I still didn't feel connected to this process and didn't see it in the same way as so many people did. This was a time of jubilee and a time, no, that's really what it was. And so I struggled with that and continue to struggle. If someone brings up, though I teach some of it in my courses, when someone brings up the Civil War, I'm giving the automatic side eye because I want to know exactly where you're coming from when you have that discussion. And it's difficult not to take that perspective here in Alabama.
Absolutely. And, you know, Dr. Moden actually touches on
that very subject, the war, our place in that war, that entire time in our history. And he answers the question, why was the war fought in the first place?
It is clear that the Confederate government was born in the or prior to the Civil War, and it was certainly the case that the Civil War was a war fought among citizens about civil rights, and those civil rights were constitutional rights, and some of those constitutional rights were already in the Constitution. Some of those constitutional rights were added to the Constitution in the wake of the Civil War, namely the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th Amendments.
So when you are, when you're working from facts, it does break through that narrative. The one that does not, to me, doesn't seem to invite another conversation. I wonder sometimes how I would have been received if I had approached some of my church members and asked, you know, what time does the celebration start? I think I'd like to come. I mean, I wonder. I mean, not, you know, not to be controversial, but to, but you know, it's a celebration. Everyone's supposed to be involved. You know, I'd like to participate. I wonder how that would have been received. But I just wasn't brave enough to do that because I couldn't guarantee that my responses would have been civil, especially if they had turned in the direction that so many conversations seem to turn when you have white Americans and black Americans talking about this very difficult part in our history, because everybody is singing from the same songbook. And the truth is somewhere in the margins to some degree. Others, their voices have been a little louder than ours. Ours tamped down because, you know, we have been given the role of the enslaved waiting for the North to come and free us, you know, and so how can you really participate in that when you didn't really have anything to do with your, you know, being freed? You know, it's so messy.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I even struggle with this idea of emancipation, right, of freeing someone who's already free, you know, that there are some artificial chains applied to one's humanity. So even at the very core of it, I struggle. I've shared previously that one of the challenges as a parent in making sure that this particular point in history is something that is understood, that's not shied away from by children and by parents, for that matter, really came to the fore for me as my youngest, who just this fall covered this period of, well, actually, they waited until February to cover it. I'm saying the fall because we were talking about it in the fall, but it was covered in February.
Of course.
And she basically said, you know, that slavery was evil. And, Mom, why did they enslave people if they also at the same time were professing to be Christian? They believed in God. And she looked at me, and that was it. Like, that's all she could give. That's all she could. She was full. She was filled by this idea that there were people who were claiming to believe in the same God that she's been taught to believe in, and they thought it was okay to enact these horrors in the name of economy.
Mm-hmm.
And this then goes on to, we'll talk about this in another show, but how this then connects to some of the ways in which we, you know, complete particular actions in the name of economy today.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And making those connections.
But I'm talking about the religious aspect. I would dare say that has probably turned quite a few people away from their faith. Whatever house of worship you may go into, when you're dealing with the conversation about the enslavement of people, supporting that system, and then even suggesting that that is where this particular group of people were meant to be because it was God ordained. You know, I don't think we've ever reconciled that. And that's what your baby was dealing with. That's what I deal with sometimes, if y'all want to be, you know, transparent. Because it makes me wonder, you know, like I believe you that she said earlier, you know, what Bible are they reading from? That's how I feel. I want to invite that dialogue, though, because I think that's going to be a part of our healing. We talk about the civil rights movement and all of the wonderful accomplishments that all people were able to bring to this country. You know, whites and blacks and Asians, Hispanics, all working together to ensure that all Americans were treated equally and we all had access. And so we had this great movement with these courageous individuals who led us. But that's not all. There were other revolts, other acts by enslaved people that led to some of the things that we eventually got. I mean, they weren't just sitting in shackles waiting for somebody to come and free them. They were actually working towards that end in whatever way. So there's so many things to talk about, and I certainly don't want to ramble on about that, but I want to go back to Dr. Darren Moten, but I did not give his title at the beginning of the show. Dr. Darren Moten is the chair of the of Alabama State University's Department of History, and he and a number of his colleagues are providing these presentations today where they're examining the Confederacy, offering critiques of it, and inviting people to participate at whatever level they can. And this is an interesting bit of information that he provided earlier.
I don't know how we can adequately or truthfully discuss the history of the civil rights movement without discussing the Civil War and the Confederacy. I mean, hypothetically, if the founding fathers had honored the original United States Constitution, it begs the question whether or not, you know, we would have needed a civil war.
Wow. I think it's certainly important to think about how brought into play, right? The fact that the first Memorial Day was over 140 years ago, but it was to recognize the contribution of Union soldiers,
mm-hmm.
and that this separate Memorial Day was in this that idea that people weren't allowed to just be and recognize. The war was, the battle was over, but the war was still continuing, and that's something that you hear. And as Tanya and I have shared previously, we are smack dab in the middle of Alabama, Central Alabama, in Montgomery, and so you'll hear these discussions frequently around the Civil War and how the battle was won, but the war ain't over. And so to see the flags and to see the you know, you ride up 65 North, you may see a Confederate flag.
Yes, we certainly will see it.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. And so it is certainly has historical relevance, but beyond the historical relevance, what is the impact on people's lives today,
mm-hmm.
on the experiences, the learning experiences, the educational experiences of children today?
Mm-hmm.
How does that continue to taint the ways in which this information is provided?
Mm. Boy, I think I can rest right there on that point. That therein is the challenge and is the problem. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So let's turn again to the conversation, because I remember the first time I ever really understood that the color of my skin, you know, automatically made me a part of the enslaved, whether, you know, I could have been from, you know, Jamaica, the islands, I could have been from the continent of Africa, I could have been from any place, but because of the color of my skin, people automatically assumed that I was a part of those who had been enslaved in this country. But having to deal with what that meant, I think I was probably a teenager. And I remember
somewhere in one of my classes, whether it was just the students discussing it or maybe the teacher, I'm not really sure. I'm not clear on that part. But I do remember coming away with this, that the war was not fought to free enslaved people. Mm-hmm. That's not what it was fought.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you really weren't in that.
Cursory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And but over time, I heard so many versions of why mm-hmm. the battle was fought.
Mm-hmm.
And I think whoever gets to offer the answer to that mm-hmm. Seems to be in the victor's place, or seems to have a certain, I don't want to say arrogance about themselves, but it does seem that way.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't important. This was what was really going on. You just kind of slipped in somewhere in there, and that's kind of how. And that's all. That's the whole part that you play in the whole conversation about the Confederacy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to push back from some of that. Dr. Moten gives us a different perspective, and he explains perhaps maybe what were the intentions of the Confederate South.
Mm-hmm.
Slavery was written into the Confederate Constitution, and written into the Confederate Constitution in such a way that it was unambiguous. And by what I mean by that is that whereas in the original Constitution, that is the United States Constitution, when the framers referred or alluded to African Americans or blacks or Negroes, they said such persons, other persons, and so on and so forth. In the Confederate Constitution, by contrast, they actually said Negro slave. And I like that because one of the things that I ask my students to do when we talk about this history is to look up the word Negro. And I intentionally want them to understand that Negroes were defined by their physical characteristics, which begs the question, okay, so what are those physical characteristics? Well, there were, you know, several physical characteristics. And so in the Confederate Constitution, it's clear. They weren't talking about European indentured servitude. They weren't talking about Native American enslavement. They were talking about Negro enslavement.
And so I think being clear that this requires, let's not try to confuse the issue. So the technical directly, I'm going to talk about color, right? We're not comparing, you know, the damage we've seen. We're not comparing this impact and the long standing influence this period in history has had on a people, a continuous influence on not just the people who were enslaved, but on the folks who enslaved them.
Mm-hmm.
And recognizing, again, what enslavement was, what the end of enslavement actually meant, and how individuals contributed to that process in a way that was not really recognized and certainly is not recognized in contemporary discussion.
Mm. It is such a good thing to be a part of this historic occasion. And for those of you who are just tuning in, I'm Tanya Scott Williams.
And I'm Denise Davis May.
And we are broadcasting live from Alabama State University. We are in Thelma Glass Auditorium, where the Department of History and Political Science is hosting its first / Confederate Memorial Day conference. They will be here until 5 p.m. today for anyone who would like to come and sit through some of the presentations, the abstracts, and visual performances that they are offering for the public in an attempt to invite dialogue into a subject that for many is difficult to deal with.
offering them perhaps a perspective on that history that will shed some light on some areas that have been left in the dark for too long.
Mm-hmm. And recognizing that there can't ever be reconciliation until truth is spoken, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as long as we continue these stories that don't include the narratives of the folk who were directly impacted, because those stories are out there, right?
Yes.
You know,
mm-hmm.
there are all of these diaries and these interviews
mm-hmm.
that were done in the 1890s and through 1910 of individuals who were in their 70s and 80s and still able to speak to not just the horrors of enslavement and this process of the Confederacy and the process of Reconstruction, but talking about how they experienced that
yes.
life.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's one of the scholars a little while ago, Dr. Autry, spoke to some of the challenges she experiences as a professor of history and how much students just seem to lack in terms of knowledge in relationship to this period in time. And we need to really be conscious about how we can connect individuals to this history in a way that is full, that is representative, that's inclusive, so that everyone's story is heard. And we will make sure to post some links on our Facebook page and on our Twitter page around how parents can support their children's education in relationship to this particular period and others, but specifically in relationship to the Confederacy, because that ends a significant period in time in this country, particularly as it relates to how this country moved through economically.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It is an open forum for anyone who'd like to come out to participate, to sit in on these presentations. Again, this is at Alabama State University here in Montgomery, Alabama, in Thelma Glass Auditorium. The speakers, the presentations will go on throughout the day, ending at about 5 o'clock. Denise, I'm not sure about you, but this triggers something
mm-hmm.
inside of me. And I look forward to where not only the university is going to go with this opportunity, but what this may mean for those who are listening,
mm-hmm.
and maybe giving me, maybe for lack of a better word, but the courage to press on through sometimes
mm-hmm.
and speak to others who don't look like me
mm-hmm.
about this very real historical fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a friend. I'm going to call him out, Bill Kennedy, and we used to have these discussions, I would get angry,
mm-hmm.
spitfire angry,
mm-hmm.
Because he would say things like, well, you know, my family, we would be wealthy today if it had not been for the ending, the way the Civil War ended. And I would look at him and I couldn't even speak because
mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe
mm-hmm.
that he would say that. But that's his family story.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my family has a story, and I want to make sure that all of the children out there recognize how their families are connected to this particular period in time.
Mm-hmm.
And this idea of being encouraged, because look where we've come from as African Americans, but look also where we've come from as come to as a country.
Mm-hmm. Tell it. That's exactly what we want to do, and we're going to continue to do that. We'll have interviews throughout the day. We'll have an opportunity to speak with some of the presenters, and we will add their discussions to our blog site, to our Twitter page, and we invite you to send in your comments. You can write to us at mommychronicles2014@gmail.com if you'd like to add to that. We plan to circle back to this at several points over the next several months. What do you think?
I think so. I think this is a story that is yet to be. Yeah, we're excited about it.
Thanks for listening to the Mommy Chronicles with Denise Davis May and Tanya Scott Williams. Listen anytime, anywhere on blogtalkradio.com. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. Write to us at mommychronicles2014@gmail.com. The Mommy Chronicles, your parenting partners in raising phenomenal children.